Everyone, it's that time. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the good food the men provided this morning, the physical nourishment. Now, as we study your word, may we be spiritually nourished to learn more about what you have done for your people in the church. Bless our time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, can everybody hear me okay? Is that maybe just up, just a tad, Lord? Yeah, okay. Because if I can't hear myself, I don't know if I'm lying. And you guys will never know. Yeah. All right, so we're still in the church. We've looked at what the church is. We've looked at biblical leadership. We're looking now at worship and just the three marks of a church, which comes from out of the Protestant Reformation, but the Word of God and the gospel preached, the ordinances, which or sacraments, but ordinances, and that's what we're looking at now, baptism and the Lord's Supper, and then we'll get to, probably in a couple weeks, church discipline is actually one of the marks historically. So let me reread Evangelical Free Church of America, which is my denomination, but the statement of faith is, I like it. It's very precise, and I agree with it, and says some things that is a good outline or good way to look at some of this. But talking about Article 7, talking about the church, we believe that the true church comprises all who have been justified by God's grace through faith alone in Christ alone. They are united by the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ, of which he is the head. The true church is manifest in local churches, whose membership should be composed only of believers. The Lord Jesus mandated two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, which visibly and tangibly express the gospel. Though they are not the means of salvation, when celebrated by the church in genuine faith, these ordinances confirm and nourish the believer. Is that distracting? Yeah, it's well, and it's not fair to them. Some folks don't want to be in there and want to be able to talk. And so. All right, so we're talking then about baptism. We've looked at baptism in general, other religions, even Judaism, New Testament baptism, but before Pentecost, so John the Baptist, Jesus' baptism. Then we started looking at Christian baptism in the church, that it's commanded by Christ. The example at Pentecost, which I would call the birthday of the church. We looked at the difference between ordinance versus sacrament. And then, for example, the Roman Catholic seven sacraments. And then the questions that we're looking at now, because we come from different backgrounds. What is the meaning of baptism? Well, biblically, that's what we're especially looking at not today. Who should then be the recipients of baptism? Well, that better be tied to the meaning. So why we baptize different ways should be tied to our biblical understanding. And then what should the mode of baptism? Mode, using water, sprinkling, pouring, dunking. And we've looked at those. And once again, how we do the mode and who we baptize, like baptizing, sprinkling water on infants, well, that is a certain picture that the Bible teaches. And so I would argue that that's perfectly fine, but you better know why you're doing it that way. We don't just do it well, but that's the way we've always done it. Sorry, that doesn't work in the church. Okay, so what is then the meaning of baptism? And you do have these on the notes. If you got a new set of notes that Trudy printed up the baptism. But first of all, we looked at Acts 22 and Ephesians 5, water, a picture of washing away sins, cleansing. What a great picture of what water is symbolizing. Then now, turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. And I'm just pulling just a verse out. You know, I'm not going to do a whole sermon, but context is important. But Paul in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, verse 26, actually. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So faith is important. Verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So putting on, off with the old, we're going to see, but on with the new. So baptized, putting on Christ. Now go forward a couple verses, or back a couple, forward a couple verses, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. So baptism, picturing putting on Christ. Well, Paul develops that a little more in Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to look at a few more verses here, beginning in verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, the resurrection, we're going to be talking about that in the message and next several weeks in Corinthians, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. But now you must also, what? Put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on, so here it is, it's putting off, putting on, put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So a little longer passage. You caught a lot of lifestyle, you know, bad stuff. Don't, you know, ultimately, if we're in bondage to sin, bad stuff we do, don't do that. Here's good stuff. And then love. But did you catch the contrast there? Put off, put on. Off with the old, on with the new. Ultimately, on with Christ. In Christ, we are new creatures. And that is pictured, like in Galatians 3:27, with baptism. So washing away sins, off with the old, on with the new. Now turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul was just talking about, you know, no matter how big our sin is, grace is bigger. Well, so should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So think of the gospel. Jesus died, was buried, was dead, rose again from the dead. That's the message, 1 Corinthians 15. But the language here, we died to sin as Christians. So how can we live longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You get the picture? He died. We are baptized into his death. Our sin died with Jesus. And so the idea of dying to death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So if you noticed his words, death, burial, resurrection, he's all those components of the facts of the gospel, and he's tied it to who we are in Christ. We're going to have a little theology in the lesson, in the message today, about why that's important, that Christ ultimately took care of this in our lives. It's his righteousness. But we are identifying in baptism. We are also identifying with Christ's burial and resurrection. And so you can see for baptism by immersion, that's a good picture of that. You bury them, they're dead. You hold them down there for a while. Get those demons off, right? Get those, and then you're raised again. So that would be a proof text verse for people that believe in believers' baptism by immersion. Baptists, capital B Baptists, and small b, which just means Baptistic. So identifying with Christ. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. All right, I will start in verse 18. But 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. So there's the death, burial, and then resurrection, by whom in the Spirit he also went and preached to the spirits in prison. Verse 20, who formerly were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. So using a little historical analogy, there's some verses here, I'll see if anybody picked it, wants to know about this, but Noah. So now Peter's using this, that Noah, just like Noah, the people that were disobedient and God sent a flood to destroy the earth, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, so who? Noah, his wife, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives, so eight people, along with all the animals on the ark, were saved through water. So he's making a picture of, just like judgment, sin, every living thing on earth died, except for those who were in the ark saved through water. Now, verse 21, here's the importance of this. There is now an antitype, I'll explain that in a minute, which now saves us, namely baptism. So he's making the picture then, what's he making the illustration for? That's called an antitype. It is baptism. So water baptism pictures what the water of the flood, which was a type of baptism. Oh, water! See, you got to be. It's got, the water's got to save you. What are the next few words? Do your any of your translation have parentheses? Okay, see, that's mine sort of, namely baptism. Now in parentheses, reflecting what he's saying, not the removal of the filth of the flesh. In other words, not the physical water that's cleaning us, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. So in other words, it's faith, it's our trust. That water, that cleansing, that salvation is being pictured by water, but it's a reflection of the spiritual reality of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Boy, all these verses, could use those in the message, that because Jesus rose from the grave, that confirms our salvation, and water as baptism, as an ordinance, is a picture then of that reality. So spiritual reality, a visible act, water. It's a visible act, something we can do in the church, like a physical preaching of the Word of God, or a physical, when we actually take the elements at baptism. Physical, something to experience, but don't get wrapped around the axle around, and sometimes I'm my own worst enemy and I shouldn't do some of this, but we didn't have the right kind of bread today, or that's not the point. The point is what's being pictured about the body and blood of Christ. And so too often in the church, we are more concerned about, the prayer went a little long today. Or, we're too worried about the physical, and we're bumping our heads against the trees, and we're missing the spiritual forest. Folks, that's what part of my job is, to help us think biblically. Big picture, and obviously then underneath the big picture, a biblical worldview, comes all the details that help us in our daily lives. And that'll be today's message, with the idea of the continuing effect of the resurrection, what it ought to have in our lives. So the visible act with a spiritual meaning, just like, going back to what is the church universal, the spiritual church, the universal church, the Catholic, small c, Catholic church, not the Roman Catholic church, although that's a branch of the physical, of the spiritual church. But just like the church, there's a spiritual component. It's more important to be a member of the spiritual church, the body of Christ. You're a Christian. Then you ought to join a local church, of course. But how many people, because they are members of a church, physical church, think they're going to heaven? That's dangerous, folks. And that's one of the things that just this particular church family I like. The only requirement for membership is that you are a Christian. And those of you that join the church, while I've been here. What did you, I look at some of you that I made them cry, but I asked you, I'd ask about, what about your statement of faith? Do you believe in Jesus? However I phrase that, then there might be some other, what's your denominational background? That's important. And that's one of the things we do, which I have no problem with. And we do a pretty good job of, my church says this. Fine. In that case, your church is wrong there. But what does the Bible say? We're not about the physical. We're about what God says, and ultimately what makes us Christians. Having your name on a membership roll at Community Fellowship of Christians doesn't mean you're a Christian and going to heaven. So, and that's one of the dangers of, same thing with baptism. Well, but you've got to do the physical. Well, no, not net, no. But what is it picturing? What is more important? The answer of a good conscience towards God. Not the removal of filth of the flesh. It's not the physical cleansing, but water is a picture. What a great illustration. It's more importantly, have you been, like Nicodemus, born from above? Which goes back to Ezekiel chapter 36, the cleansing of the Holy Spirit. When we talked about The Holy Spirit, that's one of the picture. Water is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual cleansing by God the Spirit is what makes you a Christian, not the physical baptism. And then like I said, but if you haven't been physically baptized, why not? Well, because it's not important. No, didn't say that. Jesus commands us to be baptized, but don't confuse what you are doing. And I particularly, Romans 6, that's more my view, because I am identifying with Christ. I want to show the world picture that I died with Christ and with him have been resurrected to new life. So the water is a great illustration. You know, we live in a culture that likes images and symbology. Well, as long as we don't confuse the sign for what it's, a sign's point to something, a road sign points to the next city, don't confuse the sign with the city. The city's the important thing. The sign's just pointing you there. And that's what last week, John and Peg, I appreciated, you know, in other cultures, how they go about the baptism. And it's more serious for them because they are physically pointing out, almost putting a target on themselves. Yep, we're Christians. We're identifying with that man, Jesus. And it's, so they take it probably more seriously, unfortunately, than the church in the United States, where baptism, who cares? Jesus does. Okay? But don't confuse your water baptism with a relationship with Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay. Keep, you know, it comes out of, and that'll be what we're talking about in the sermon, that big word, but justification, who we are, God saved us. Now, what does that look like in our lives? Sanctification. See, we confuse good works with, well, that proves I'm a Christian. Well, no, it doesn't. Make sure you're made right with God, then we truly can do good works because they're done in Christ. So that'll be the message. So the spiritual reality, visible act with a spiritual meaning, just like the local and universal church. Okay, go back now to 1 Corinthians 12. So this is part of our 1 Corinthians series, if you remember this. In chapter 12, Paul was talking about the spiritual gift, the charismatic gifts, the spiritual gifts, and how the status-seeking Corinthians in the Roman culture, they were focused on the gifts themselves. Once again, they were looking at the material, the here and now, and they were all excited and overemphasizing that, and look at me, I've got more spiritual gifts than you, or I speak in tongues. And Paul, and baptism of the Spirit, and there are denominations today that unfortunately get the idea of what is the spiritual baptism wrong and how it's manifested. And they're focused down here versus, no, you're missing the point about what it means to be spiritual. And so that's what Paul's been talking about, that all your improper actions is causing division. And ultimately it's tied to improper belief, because you don't understand the gospel. And that's what we've been in chapter 15. But 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 13. You know, so here's what Paul is summarizing or pointing out. What does it mean to be spiritual? Not how many wonderful gifts and how flashy and important you people think you are, because actually you're pretty immature babies. The spiritual is what is most important. And what does that mean? Verse 13, for by one Spirit, we were all baptized. Not, look at me, I've got more gifts. So because remember, I was baptized three times. So I must be more. I mean, the Corinthians, I could have been a Corinthian. Remember, it was a Navy town. But, you know, but people bragging about, you all know I'm kidding, but the idea of focusing on, yeah, I was baptized by Paul in the Jordan River. Look at me. Woohoo. For by one Spirit, so the unity of God, the Holy Spirit, we were all, if you're a Christian, baptized into one body, unity. whether Jews or Greeks. What? You know, Jews and Greeks, that's worse than, I mean, that's more of a, you know, I don't come up with, used to use Packers and Bears, but, you know, what's the word? If Jews and Greeks can be one in Christ, anybody can, according to Paul. Whether slaves or free, and we have all been made to drink into one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member then in many. So unity of the spirit, Corinthians, remember the context here, unity of the spirit, unity of the body of Christ, but the baptism, is baptism required for salvation? Spiritual. See, that's what he's saying here. That's the baptism, the real baptism that saves you. The water pictures that. And water in the Old Testament, picture of the Holy Spirit. All those other meanings. So let's go through those again. Washing away sins. Off with the old, on with the new. Great picture of what it means to be new in Christ. Identify with Christ's burial and resurrection. We are Christians, which means little Christ in the sense of we are publicly identifying with our Savior, which is why baptisms should be. And sorry, Zuniker guys, I'm going to use you, but you were all baptized, right? You know, and that, see, and that was, we had a public service baptizing. So the church family got to rejoice. You know, that didn't save them, but yet they were wanting to identify with nut jobs like you people. Actually, with Christ. And unfortunately, with Christ comes nut jobs. You know, so identifying with Christ, the spiritual reality of like the ark. And oh, by the way, so those of you that, just church history, but the Roman Catholic Church, this is some of where they went wrong, I would say, because they would overemphasize, obviously, the Roman Catholic Church and Martin Luther and the Reformation, they had no time for anybody, you know, the one true faith, but a guy named Cyprian, but the idea of the church, you are only saved in the ship of the church. So like, and that'd be one of the verses they would use, the Roman Catholic Church is a ship like the ark, and therefore no one is saved unless you're in that ship. Years ago, we did a series or a message on naval architecture, church buildings. I mean, I thought it was fascinating. You people didn't care. But cathedrals, and when they talk about her, Trudy sometimes will say, or I'll say, what is that? What's that room out there? The it's a foyer. The narthex, where does that come from? That comes from a cathedral. The central, if you've ever been at a great cathedral, that the big long, that's called the nave. And that's where we get our word navy. And so in a cathedral, all the great cathedrals that were built for the Roman Catholic Church, mainly, that architecture, the people sit in the nave, in the ship. That's where you're saved. And we do the mass and the important things at the Roman Catholic Church. And then you have the transepts. So a building from above looks like a cross. I mean, I love the tradition of it, but just because you're sitting in the building doesn't mean you're a Christian. And that's the danger of, look at this wonderful building. You go to Europe now, and all those wonderful cathedrals, I wish we could bring one over. Wouldn't one of those look cool right here in Pikes Peak? And actually was it the church, John and Peg, founded basically, right? The Rocky Mountain Chapel, you know, sort of the idea of a chapel and the building, spectacular. I love that stuff. Now, well, and then they're not using them over there, so we might as well bring them over here, right? So it's not the building, but I love the tradition as long as we don't lose track of what the tradition, what the sign, what the water is picturing. So, and then, of course, there the unity of the body of Christ. So any questions or comments about that? We're finishing up baptism. Yeah. Well, the Roman Catholic Church, Anglican, some Lutherans, some there are denominations that baptize infants. Some actually teach that that is required for the baby to be saved as an infant. Then later on, some of the more biblical will add the confirmation that they'll, you know, that kids have to grow up with their own faith, but at that time, we're making sure that kid's safe. It's an oversimplification because what happens when infants die? Where do they go? What about abortions? Are those children? What happens when babies are aborted? Where do they go? See, there's a lot of theology here, and sometimes, I would argue, to protect God from himself, we will come up with doctrines that, no, that's not what the Bible teaches. You know, we trust God and obviously God's grace. God can save anybody he wants. But the idea of taking the water, if you heard what me saying, look at how the water, yeah, you've got to be baptized to be saved. But be careful, because what's the reality? The spiritual is the reality, and so it's not the water. So then there are we'll call them conservative Presbyterians. They will baptize baby, but it'll be more of a covenant baptism. We looked at some of the meanings earlier, if you remember that. And so I could make a good case for, and that comes from Colossians. Let me make sure I'm getting the verse right. Colossians chapter 2, that the idea of equating or analogy of just like circumcision in the Old Testament was required to be part of the covenant, but Israel, the people of God, God said, circumcise your males. That was just like that. Now, baptism from Colossians chapter 2 is equated or can be an analogy, and so there are denominations, especially Presbyterians, more Reformed, that believe in predestination, things that, look, this is a covenant community. We are going to demonstrate that this child is part of this community, but they will be very careful they will be very biblical and say, but obviously apart from faith, so an infant can't have that faith, I believe in Jesus Christ. So the idea of that part of the community, hopefully surrounded by a bunch of Christians that are going to help that child grow up instead of peer pressure, because we all know peer pressure is so good for children. I want my kid learning his morals from other kids. That's a joke. But recognizing that God honors, and God ultimately from the foundation of the earth, so there's a lot of theology there, but the kid has to grow up and believe, which I would argue is irrefutable biblically. You've got to believe. Now, what do you think water pictures? And in the believing, the gospel, which the last couple of messages got a little heavy, I realize, and I would say I apologize for that, but I don't, because that's important. The gospel is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not believe and be baptized, not believe and join a church, not believe and give a tithe, not all that stuff's good and flows out of that. But if you think you are adding to the gospel, you'll get me a little exorcised. Not like we got exorcise demons row. I get exorcised about people that are adding to the gospel. And so where is your righteousness coming from? Well, I was baptized in the Jordan River. No, there's a lot of people that got baptized, got wet in the Jordan River that are not saved. Now, hopefully I'm not one of them. You'll never know. But it's not what we do, it's what God has done. And then that is then reflected. So all the way back to the mode of baptism, sprinkling, infants, what is being pictured can be biblical, but a biblical understanding of that would point out that But the child still has to, everyone has to believe, trust the gospel for salvation. So, and that's part of it. She said, if you heard that, because now let's go back to how bad is sin? When do we become sinners? Well, Paul wasn't teaching biology, but, and this goes to the abortion debate, folks. I was conceived in iniquity. And in sin, my mother bore me. But the idea of a child in the womb and sin nature ever since Adam and Eve. You see, so this being consistent with theology influences how we look at other aspects. And so instead of trying to help God out, sweet, innocent little baby. What's the quote I think I've used? Vipers in diapers. Yeah. We don't have to teach just even infants that, we don't have to teach them to be mine. What's the first word they learn? Mine! And I don't want to get sidetracked with other cults. I'm just going to say false biblical teaching of the inherent goodness of man. You don't understand how holy God, I'll start here. You don't understand how holy God is. If you think you're good enough on your own, and some of you have, I don't want to get into this. But the British monk Pelagius was taught that we are basically all born morally neutral. And then somewhere in there, I was doing great until I was 23 and then I kicked that dog. Now I'm a sinner. No, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin, physical sins, because we're sinners. And that is greatly misunderstood in the church, biblically, and leads to, I'll tell you what it leads to, the He Gets Us campaign in the Super Bowl. If any of you, I brought that up as an illustration, probably none of you saw that. But what was being emphasized is a nice Jesus who's impotent, who's a good example, and who accepts you no matter what perverse lifestyle you're in. No, He is a holy God. And we need a Savior. We don't need I think I use the term MTD, moralistic therapeutic deism. We don't need a self-help guide in the church, and we preachers are very good. And here's five ways to be nicer people this week. I look at you and I say, there's no way you people can be nice apart from the finished work of Jesus Christ. If you're living for His glory because of who you are, you can. That was our call to worship last week. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship. And that's where we get our English word poem. I like that. We are His poem. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, new creatures, resurrected, brought back from life, the death. We are dead in our sin. Not sick with sin, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. And so we are then, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I've got a handy sign that some of you have seen that's going to come up in the message later. But because of what God has done, now, should we live lives for His glory? Should we obey His commands? Absolutely. And hopefully it's because we want to please the God who saved us by His grace, not because ain't God lucky to have me working on His team. Or look at me, I've done more good works than you did. See, that's very human self-righteous. No, we're dead. That's why the imputed righteousness of Christ, that'll come up in the message later, but that's why Christ's righteousness, and which is why for me, the Romans 6 there, Jesus did it all to save a reprobate like me, a sinner like me. That's why then in baptism, I want to identify with him. I just happen to do it in the Jordan River. So Diane, that's good. Debbie. Perfect. Thanks. Did you all hear that? That's a great thank you. I'm going to need to incorporate that because that is exactly what, you know, was Jesus being baptized? Maybe that's John's baptism before Pentecost. Remember, this isn't Christian baptism, but his picture of water, repentance, that's how Judaism today, water important, even in Old Testament, talked about the mikveh, the little bathtubs in Jewish houses that you can see in Jerusalem today from Old Testament times. And so John the baptizer is showing that, you know, water, it's a picture of cleansing, all those things biblically, that's good. But he's pointing to the yet coming spiritual reality of the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit, the cleansing, the regeneration, being born again of the Holy Spirit. And so then 1 Corinthians is, you know, it's equated by one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Which body? Body of Christ. So the real baptism that saves us, that puts us into the universal church. Now, do you have to be a member of a local church to be saved? No. But why wouldn't you be? That's a command too. You know, that we should worship together, get together. So this is a local branch meeting of the body of Christ here in Lake George. And oh, by the way, there's another good local branch next door. I'll just leave it at that. But Bible teaching, you know, churches that keep the main thing, that's what a local church is supposed to be about. But, I mean, I know it's tempting because to all wear big badges that say, I am a member of Community Fellowship of Christians. You know, but how many people brag about denominations or our church is the only church versus, no, this just happens to be where some of us beggars are finding bread. Hopefully we can share that bread with the world, but it's not about what the name on the church sign is. It's, are we Christ's? And so when there's the difference between the physical, we as people, our natures, we tend to like to focus on the physical that we can control versus the reality of the spiritual. But Debbie, thank you. That's a perfect one. And when we went back to then why was Jesus baptized by John the Baptizer, and I expressed what I think biblically that he's identifying. He's showing us how to do it. Identifying with sinners so that then now this side of Pentecost as Christians, we are identifying with him because he is the Savior. I hope he's your Savior. I hope he's my Savior. But he is the Savior. We want to identify with him. So, excellent. Any other? All right, let me summarize this. Then next week we'll get into the Lord's Supper in different views, which is pretty interesting as well. So, baptism, when it comes to the ordinances, the different views, you know, what is the meaning and what is the mode? What does it mean biblically, baptism, the physical water? Well, I hope we all agree that that is ultimately picturing the reality of what is most important. And so there are different ways of understanding it. I would say some are maybe a little more biblical than others, but, you know, I can make a pretty good case for a bunch of different ways as long as we're not getting focused on the mode of it, you know, how we did it. Well, if you weren't sprinkled as a baby, you're not going to heaven. Or Baptist, capital B Baptist. especially those in the South, Southern Baptists, which I'm ordained by them too. Sometimes they'll get so wrapped up in, well, if you weren't baptized by immersion in a tank in the church building, that was my third baptism in a Baptist church that basically demanded, if I wanted to join, I was going to get wet for them. And I think I've shared that story, that the danger of it. You know, you guys think I'm just sweet and nice. I used to be even sweeter and nicer because my fears, even at that stage in my spiritual growth, after I got wet, I knew enough to say, well, okay, I'll get wet for you. I don't care to join the church because good church family. And a sweet little lady came up to me and said, I'm glad you got saved today. And that just confirmed, if this is not taught biblically, and I'm a Baptist. Well, nice. I hope you're a Christian. Okay? And that's what denominationalism can do. We are so wrapped up in our denomination. And there's nothing wrong with that. I come from a mixture of different traditions and things, and I think that could be very helpful. But let's not get tied up in the traditionalism. What is it? What is the spiritual reality? So, and then just a couple, I'll reemphasize this after the Lord's Supper. So baptism, not a means of salvation, the water itself. Please, 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 please. I hope we all agree on that, because that's where the danger can lie. We're looking to what we do versus what it's picturing in God's grace. And that's confusing the sign, in this case, water, physical water, with the reality, the spiritual rebirth. And then Debbie, great, that's a great verse that Debbie, John the Baptist and Jesus. I mean, John the Baptist, I mean, he founded the Southern Baptist Church, don't you know? He did not. But if he is pointing to the spiritual reality, hopefully we all get that too. So genuine faith is required. It's not going through the motions. The importance, then why do I want to get baptized if it doesn't save me? Because it's commanded by Christ. I mean, don't you want to obey your Savior? It's a visible and tangible expression of the gospel. That's from our statement of faith, but I like that. That water, bread, cup, physical, you can chew on that. And I like that. And once again, in our culture, it's not just a bunch of pretty words from a guy up there. It's, we can actually feel and touch. In fact, in 2014, on August 17th, you all know this date exactly, but a whole message on the Word made visible. So had a sermon on this that talking about this and what the important spiritual reality of that is. And then using some of the words from the statement, spiritual growth to confirm. And you might think of confirmation. That's a good picture. Confirm and nourish. So think of physical sustenance, but it's nourishing our spiritual life. So that's why it's important that we do it, and which is hopefully we do it every month on the first Sunday of the month. We didn't do it right. We didn't do it on the first Sunday of the month. Why can't we just go through the motions and do what we're supposed to do? If it becomes rote, we won't do it ever again. No, we won't. But if we were just going through the motions, same thing with reciting the Lord's Prayer. If we're just saying that just because, well, we have to, Jesus won't love us if we don't, then we won't say the Lord's Prayer anymore. Because once again, it's not going through the motions. It's a reflection of them. So any final statements? Okay, next week we'll get into the Lord's Supper. Thank you for letting me rant and rave. Wait till the message. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have been cleansed from our sin through the finished work of Jesus, and that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the spiritual reality of being brothers and sisters in Christ. May we together, as we worship together in this local church, celebrate, enjoy, bask in your presence, and then as we go from this place, give us the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus, not self-righteous being church people, but the good news of Jesus who saves people who are dead in their sin. Thank you. In His name we pray. Amen.